It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We don't have a lot of long-term data on what happens with COVID. So say in 3 or 4 years from now, you have some kind of prolonging lung issue. Will it be worth the risk for you to play this season if you don't have that data, if you can't answer those type of questions? How do you evaluate that?
I think COVID brings a risk to everybody, but a question that I'd like to ask you is, would we be more safe on campus playing football or off campus? Just doing whatever. I think COVID, you can contract it anywhere in the store. But me personally, I feel more safer at the facility, around my teammates, knowing my teammates are going to get tested twice a week. And that's kind of the safest environment for me and my teammates, in my opinion. So I would have to argue that being at the facility for me and my teammates are more safer than just being out and about in the community.
That was Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields answering a question from Jay Williams there. Great question by Jay Williams. You know, Justin Fields has been out there in the open about his petition to bring the Big Ten back to playing football. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode talking college football, and help us do a little bit more of that. Let's bring in our good friend Chris Lowe from ESPN. Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Absolutely. So, Chris, you hear Justin Fields there kind of talking about the situation going on with the Big Ten and how the players want to play and everything going on associated with the long-term risks of COVID. I guess my question to you is where do you anticipate this going with players in the Big Ten like Justin Fields, who have been so outspoken about wanting to play and wanting to be out there with their teammates?
Well, I mean, I heard this even before – you know, the Big Ten made a decision to shut it down for the fall. There are a lot of players who were on board. I mean, Justin had already made his feelings known before that on social media. So it's just sort of picked up steam. It's going to be hard for the Big Ten to reverse course based on the way they came out and why they said they were shutting down, that you know, they had medical people telling them this is the right thing to do. They're medical people. And I understand there's going to be pressure from parents and players saying, hey, we should be the ones to make the decision. If we want to opt out, we should have that right to opt out. But don't pull the season out from under us. And I get that. I mean, kids are passionate about playing. And, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of these kids go to college because they want to play football. And they think that's, you know, certainly in Justin Fields' case, you know, he sees that as his livelihood and a way to go make a lot of money. Now, I think whether he plays another down in football or not, you know, he's going to be a high draft pick in the NFL, which I think tells you a little something about Justin Fields. But now it's going to be very difficult in my mind for the Big Ten, no matter how much pressure they get, to reverse course and say, well, we're going to change our minds. We are going to try to play at this point anyway.
The Big Ten also, Chris, of course, puts out a schedule. And then a few days later, there's no schedule. There's no season. We know that today the SEC has big plans. I mean, practice is going on. Jeremy Pruitt's got a Zoom presser. Paul Feinbaum is putting out the first week, and then the SEC Network, the whole schedule. How should we read this in the context of, you know, the possibility of this actually getting all the way to the SEC playing football?
Well, I mean, some of the things you point out are, I think, why a lot of people in the Big Ten are frustrated, that they see – the SEC is having a plan. Now, whether that plan is going to be able to be executed or not, we don't know. Nobody knows. Whereas the Big Ten really didn't have a plan. You know, and I think that's why you talk to parents and players, which we have, even coaches. I mean, several coaches in the league have told us the same thing, that the Big Ten sort of had all this time, you know, to try to come up with a plan and try to make a way to play, you know, and they just didn't. Here the SEC has for a long time, and give Greg Sankey credit, they're going to try to play. Is it going to be an impossibility to play in 2 weeks in 6 weeks? I mean, I don't know. We're going to find that out. As Sankey has said, ultimately the virus is going to make that decision for us. You know, where are the testing numbers? You know, once you get all the students back on campus, we've already seen pictures where kids are on campus, piled on top of each other, no masks. I mean, that's not good for anybody. And I mean, you know, I talked to Nick Saban earlier last week, and he made the point that, you know, you're going to have all these thousands of students coming back on campus, and that's going to be a challenge for all sports to play, certainly football in the fall. But is the argument, should the argument be more, should we have school? Should we have kids on top of each other on campus dorms, you know, places on campus, bars, what have you? You know, is that the argument, or is playing football the argument, or is it both? And I think that's the thing that's going to make it, I think, most difficult to play, is bringing back all these kids. And listen, I mean, I remember when I was 18, 19, and 20, we all thought we were invincible. And how realistic is it when you've got all these football players who have been sort of to this point in their own little bubble because there hasn't been all these students on campus. They've been at the complex. Now you integrate them with all the regular student population, it's going to be much more difficult. So we'll see. I mean, I think there's a chance, and I think that without question, having talked to the people I've talked with in the SEC, they have gotten information from their medical people that they feel like that there is a chance. But anybody that says they know for sure at this point is not telling the truth, because how would you know?
Chris Lowe from ESPN on the line with us. And, Chris, there's obviously been a lot of chatter the past few weeks about maybe moving a season to the spring. Number one, what's your opinion on that? What do you think it would look like? And do you think it's fair to ask college football players to play in the spring and then turn right around again and play in the fall?
Well, you know, first of all, and I think without question, whether it's the Pac-12, the Big Ten, you know, whether the SEC or ACC shuts it down, that they absolutely are concerned about student-athlete welfare, you know, and the potential long-term ramifications of this virus. So anybody who tries to make light of that and say it's, you know, it's this or that, that's not fair, because I've talked to enough administrators, enough coaches, commissioners, they are. But let's say we do have a spring season and you're asking kids to play, what would that be? Even if you reduce the number of games in the spring and came back and did so in the fall, you're still probably asking to play around 18 to 20 games in what, you know, 10 months? Well, what is that saying about student-athlete welfare? I mean, anybody that's ever played sport, if you talk to anybody, I talked to Trey Smith at Tennessee last week about that. He just said, Chris, I don't think that's viable to ask a kid to play that many games. You know, the wear and tear on your body and having to recover from a season and you have to come back several months later to play, even if you reduce the number of games. I'm not talking to many people within the sport, coaches, players, people who have played, who think that's a good deal. Now, if that's the only option, if there's no way you can play in the fall, then I think you have to consider it. But as another coach told me, none of the elite players are going to play. In fact, one coach said it's going to be like saying we're going to have a JV season, because you're going to have guys that just aren't simply going to play. So anybody that basically thinks they have a chance to play or be drafted, I don't think they'll play. Again, though, I'm not saying I'm completely dismissing it, because I understand that if you don't have a season this fall, that you've got to find a way, for a lot of different reasons, financial, to give these kids a chance to try to come back and play at some point in the spring. And Ryan Day is on record as saying, let's start early January. You know, at least then you give it a little bit of a break between when you finish the 20 season, quote-unquote 20 season, and start back the 21 season. But everybody, I say everybody, 95% of the people I've talked to who actually have played the sport or coach the sport, and I'm not talking about someone who's sat in a boardroom or someone who sits 1,000 feet away and say, well, maybe it'd be cool to play in the spring, but people that are involved in football think that's a realistic and viable option.
So if there is a fall season, Chris, you and Alex Scarborough had a piece on ESPN.com on the conference call with SEC football coaches. Some coaches not too happy. And I have to admit, Chris, when I saw some of the draws, my first thought was, my goodness, the powers of this league are getting a bit of a break. How upset are some of these coaches? Do you think they have cause to be?
Yeah, well, I've talked to at least half of them, maybe more than half now at this point. And I can tell you at least half, 7 of 14, have real issues with it. And here's their biggest gripe, okay? The biggest gripe is they can't really get any answers for how the SEC came up with the two additional games. They want, you know, some type of formula. They want specifics. They want more transparency. And basically all they're getting is, well, there was no formula. What we try to do is sit down several people within the league office and balance out the totality of the schedules, not just the two extra games, but they looked at, let's say, Alabama's schedule, Florida's schedule, Missouri's schedule. How can we give each team a fair, quote-unquote, fair competitive schedule with all 10 games and not just looking at the two additional games that they pulled out to the two teams. So that's the league side of it. But the coaches don't want to hear that. They're like, you know, BS on that. You know, we want to hear, you know, in fact, I had two coaches say they could stomach it better if they told them, listen, we just drew them out of the hat, which they didn't do, but we could have stomached it better. The other thing, I think all of them have been led to believe initially that they just were going to sort of move up the next two cross-divisional rotating foes. So whoever you played in the other side as your rotating opponent in 21 and 22, those are going to be your two additional games this year. Well, if you go back and look at that, that means Florida and Alabama would have been playing this year. So whether that was a factor or not a factor, a lot of coaches say, well, the league's just trying to protect its kingpins, because I think if you look now at the games that LSU and certainly Alabama got, the two additional games, you know, they made out pretty good, in fact, real good. Whereas teams like Missouri, Vandy, Arkansas, I mean, they got squashed when you look at who they have to play, their additional games. Now, again, if you set all those games down that those teams play, I will admit it looks a little bit different. But that's the thing, guys, that they were most upset about the fact that no one could give them any hard, fast information or formula or even a method that they used to come up with the two additional games.
Chris Lowe from ESPN has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Chris, thanks so much for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it as always.
It's good to be with you guys. Take care.
You too.
Thank you, Chris.
Great stuff from Chris Lowe there. I would have liked to have been on that SEC call with the coaches, just seeing them get all fired up about the draw. I think you could probably look at the schedule and take a guess on who might have been upset and who wasn't. Imagine Nick Saban was fine with it.
Nah, Nick Saban was upset.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm reporting this.
Oh, he wanted to be challenged more?
Yeah, no, he wanted Vandy. That's why he wanted a challenge. Okay. So it's like, if you're not going to get Vandy on my schedule, what's the point of even playing? That's okay. What Nick Saban's thoughts were.
Why even have a season?
Why even have a season if we can't play Vandy? Like, it's not fair.
I imagine Jeremy Pruitt wasn't too happy. I mean, A&M, Auburn, that's tough. That's a tough draw from the other side.
I mean,
got Bama.
Like, the Big Ten, there's been, you know, people always complain about schedules, or even like, oh, this year the rotating basketball schedule. Big Ten's always just said, well, it's the computer. That's what the computer came up with.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this is just like Greg Sankey's like, we got to get in the playoff, man. We are going to get in the college football playoff, and I'm not going to screw it up. I mean, how could you look at it any other way?
I know. When we come back, we'll dive into the SEC schedule release today and also ask the question, which team could benefit more from a 2021 season, Vols basketball or Vols football? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.